Are we ready for God's Word this morning?
Yes.
All righty. I'm going to make it easy for you this morning. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 2, please. Genesis, chapter 2. That should not be hard to find, the first book in the Bible. Just two chapters in, and we're going to jump in and have us a good message, all right? Let me begin by saying that not too long ago, I was talking to a gentleman friend of mine who is on hospice, and he's suffering from Parkinson's disease. And as I was conversing with him, he said that, that he has been plagued with the why God questions. How many of us would you agree with me? I think most all of us at some point or another in our lives have asked the why God question. Why God, why? Why this? Why me? Why now? Why? And then if we continue along that line, then there seems to arise a keen sense of betrayal from God to us. You know, some people feel, I don't know that I can say that I've ever felt really betrayed by God. I can say in my openness and honesty, and I want this series to be this, is open and honest and transparent, that I have felt let down by God. Who of you would agree with me that at some point in your life or the other that you've felt let down by God, like God let you down? I think all of us can raise our hands to some degree or the other. You know, we had certain expectations that God would come through for us, and it didn't, you know, life didn't seem to pan out the way we wanted. We had been praying for someone that God would heal, that God would come to their aid, their rescue, their deliverance, etc., and the prayer was seemingly left unanswered, or the answer to our prayer was a no, right? Can we be that honest, church family? I mean, it's part of life, and I believe that God touches every aspect of our souls regarding every aspect of life. And so in my conversation with this gentleman, he was very sincere. He loves the Lord, and he was saying that he had felt that God let him down, and he had been asking that, and then he also said, you know, I wonder if God is punishing me. And so sometimes those questions, if not tended to properly from God's revelation, that they can lead to a path that we will find ourselves or can be on a slippery slope of bitterness. Come on, somebody. And even hardening our hearts to the Lord. So let's pursue this morning. You know, bad things happen to good people. Would you agree with me? Bad things happen to God's people. Amen? I don't think there's any promise in the Bible that says that God's people will never get sick, God's people will never die, that God's people will never... Are you kidding me? You know, I remember once I stood up in Wednesday night Bible study. I remember Mama Jan's expression. You have the most beautiful expressive facial. I stood up in Wednesday night Bible study, and I was feeling good about my health, and I said, I'll never get COVID. And she's like... And she kind of gave me this. She knows. I call her Mama Jan's for a reason. She's like my surrogate mother, and she gives me this look of... How many of y'all know I'm telling the truth? And she said, buddy, in that tone of voice, sorry, Mama Jen. She said, buddy, there have been young people that have gotten it. I said, not me. And then the next thing I know, and then as if, what was that?
The young people said you're not young people.
Oh, okay, thank you, young people. The longingly want to be young, is that better? But then I had another church member. I won't mention her name. The first initial is Sheila, and the last one is and the last one is four lines. That when I was the sickest, and she sends me a text, see, remember when we were in the hospital? And that, in that tone of voice, and the lady told you to put on your mask and you told her that you didn't need it, you were the picture of health. I'm like, with friends like these, who needs enemies? I mean, can I get a witness? I thought they would be like, you know, I know you felt good that day, but you know, you have legs of clay, son. But no, we're gonna rub it in. So exactly. So we come up on this that we all at some point or another have asked God, where are you? You know, my 30 years of ministry, I've seen some amazing things. And please understand that as a pastor, you know, I want you guys to know that I did not seek out this calling. This calling sought me out. And I did not choose ministry. Ministry chose me. Before I knew Jesus Christ, I was running away from the call of God to ministry. And once I accepted that call, you know, you get to be, think about it, you, in my profession, my calling, you get to be with people at their very highest. Baby dedications, weddings, baptisms, you know, you name it. But then we also get to be with people at their very worst. You know, twice in my 30 years of ministry, I've had to go with the sheriff and knock on the door of one of our church members to let them know that their child had been killed in a car accident. And let me tell you, I never wish that upon anybody. Never. It is the hardest thing I've ever had to do in ministry, and honestly, with all my heart, I pray I'll never have to do it again. No parent should have to bury their children. Amen? Plainly put, but life happens. Okay, have you found Genesis 2? Let's open the scripture up, and I want to read a few verses. And so let's, from this point on in the message, I want to provide some answers. Now, let me say here, I'm not going to pretend to know all the reasons why bad things happen to good people, why bad things happen to God's people, or why bad things happen in this life, period. But I will pronounce answers where the Bible is not silent. And that's what we want to look at in the balance of this message. Genesis chapter 2, please. Let's begin reading with verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely what? You shall surely die. Stop there. God made a simple pronouncement to Adam. The day you eat of that fruit from that particular tree of knowledge of good and evil is the day you will die. Now, we all have read chapter 3, or we're acquainted with the story. The Adam or Eve ate, gave to her husband Adam to eat of it. Yet they did not die immediately, did they? They lived on for hundreds of more years. So what did God mean by you shall die? Well, let's go to the Hebrew language. In the Hebrew, it does not read you shall surely die. It reads like this: in dying, you will die. In dying, you will die. In dying spiritually, an immediate incident, God was telling Adam and Eve, you will die instantly the moment you eat of that fruit, and that is spiritual death. And then years down the road, you will eventually die physically because of that act of disobedience. Interesting, huh? In dying spiritually, you will die physically. Now, what is spiritual death? Spiritual death is separation from God. Plainly put, separation from God. You know, there are a lot of people that are the picture of health today. They're living, walking. They've got best-selling books on this kind of diet, on that kind of diet, on CrossFit and this and that, and you know, the latest and greatest protein shakes, etc. Yet spiritually they are dead. They don't know Christ. They don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness in the house, please? Right? They are spiritually dead. And that's what God said. You will die spiritually the moment you eat of that fruit, but hundreds of years down the road, at that time, they would eventually die physically. Okay, so let's read. We have a scripture here, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. But I want us to read. It says, therefore, just as sin entered through the world, entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way, death came to how many people?
All.
Death came to how many people?
All
people, because how many people have sinned?
All
people have sinned. Where it says death, spiritual death was passed on to everybody, thanks to Adam and Eve. And because spiritual death was passed on to everybody, physical death would come on the coattails of sin. Right? You know, I think, church family, wow, of the craze to try to cling to our youth in our American culture. You know, some people have been incredibly blessed with genetics, like my lady. I think she looks like she's 35. When I first started sharing photos of her, some people were like thinking, you should have a conscience, Pastor Joe. She looks like she's 20 years younger. She's only 8, people. But some people are blessed with great genetics, but that doesn't mean great genetics is not going to keep you from dying. Amen? Amen? You're just going to look good, as James Dean used to say, you're going to die young and you're going to live fast, die young, and leave a good-looking corpse. That was James Dean. I got a witness on that, right, Terry? I don't pull this stuff out of thin air, right? And him and Gene keep me honest. They are my fact checkers. So with that comes death, and death was passed on everybody. Okay? Now, there are four reasons. Well, before we go into the four reasons, go with me to chapter 3, please, of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, just one chapter past 2, and we'll read a couple more verses. We'll begin here. God is meting out judgment. He is sentencing the serpent. He is sentencing the woman. He is sentencing the man for this grave sin that was committed. To the woman, verse 16, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow. What does another translation say? Pain. Okay, so what is introduced now into a human existence that did not previous to this exist? Sorrow and pain. Suffering. Did that suffering come because God wanted them to suffer? If God wanted them to suffer, they would have suffered before they sinned, right? But they're not suffering. They were not suffering before they sinned. It was a direct consequence to their sin. Pain and suffering are here now. He says, and in pain you shall bring forth children. They say that that's the worst kind of pain that a woman can have. Is that true, ladies who have had kids? Some of you are looking at me, you're moving your lips, but not saying it loudly. You're like, is that a yes or no?
Yes.
Thank you. And I hear kidney stones are the second worst. Is that right? You know, there's let me add to this. In the Joe Brazino translation in verse 16, it says there are three rings. There's the engagement ring, there's the wedding ring, and then there's suffering. We had a brave soul say amen. We'll move on. I don't think that went over well with my lady. She might, don't tear it up, baby. All right, moving right along. He says here, Verse 17, then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I have commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Notice a cursed ground, a cursed existence, a sin-infested life. Verse 18, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of your face you shall eat the bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Wow. Isn't that kind of a bleak outlook on the outcome of their existence? And in existence there would be suffering and pain and sorrow. And man would have to work hard, toil hard for his bread, for his labor. Before that, let me say here, you know, sometimes I like to take little rabbit trails because we don't know who's tuning in. And I just like to, you know, be relevant. Incidentally, God did not give Adam a job after the fall. Adam had a job before the fall. Didn't God say, tend the garden, right, before Eve was around? So what's the point there? Ladies, single ladies. All you single ladies? All the single ladies. Anyway, okay. Anyway, so some of you are not amused by my Beyoncé's. Let me say here, listen. Adam had a job before he sinned. Ladies, single ladies looking for a man, do not hitch up with a guy without a J-O-B. Because you're going to live to regret it. And then you'll be, I don't care how cute the guy is. I don't care how nice he looks in those jeans. Or he rocks those Carhartts. Baby, you're going to live to regret that. Then you're going to be dragging a sorry butt around, wishing he was a working man. You're welcome. Moving right along. How many of y'all are digging this message? You know, it's somewhat serious, but we need to laugh a little, right? Laugh or cry sometimes. But anyway, so there are four causes for in this life. Causal forces, four of them in this life. Why do good things happen in this life, or why do bad things happen in this life? Number one, the good that happens, and listen, let's be clear this morning that in Genesis chapter 1, God repeated over and over saying, and God said this, God spoke this, and it was day and night, and God saw that it was good. Every verse, and at the end of the chapter 1, and God saw everything he had made, and he saw that it was very good. James chapter 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of the celestial lights. Amen? God is the cause of all that is good, not of evil. Let's be clear about that, church family. He is a good God. All right? That's number one. Number two, humans. And humans can be the cause of good and bad. Right? I mean, today after church, you can go home and you can be nice to your family, or you can be a jerk to your family. It's funny how when I bring down the cookies to the lower shelf, everybody gets quiet. Right, we all have that choice. Am I going to be a jerk or am I going to be nice? Humans, we are in that crossroads. We can choose good or we can choose evil. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 19, God said, behold, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you and your children may live. We are in that crossroads of life and death, blessing and cursing, and we choose what path we will take. And how many of us know that if we choose the path of good, there are going to be some really good consequences down that road? You're going to have a spouse that loves you. You're going to have a children that love you, respect you, look up to you. Come on, somebody. But if you choose the death part, then... Can I just say it the way I want to say it? It's going to be hell to pay. We choose. Well, Pastor Joe, you know, sometimes church family, I don't have a lot of time. It's almost time for me to wind up, but I'm just going to say it this way. A lot of people over the years, the first time they give God any consideration is when they feel that God has slighted them, and they say, well, why couldn't God have prevented that car wreck from that drunk driver that killed my little nephew or killed my little niece? Why is that the first time you acknowledge God? Number one. Number two, how many of us know that if God prevented people from doing bad things, he would have started at the very beginning with Adam and Eve? But he didn't, because he gave us an incredible quality of freedom of choice. And that has an impact on the world we live in. Can I get a witness? Number three causal force is Satan. I'll say it the way Oral Roberts, and how about that team that upset Ohio State? Ooh, ooh, ooh. You just like that because you hate Ohio State, because you're a Illini fan, Craig. But what, Joe? Oral Roberts used to say, God is a good God, the devil is a bad devil. The devil is a bad devil. The devil can do no good. The devil doesn't bless anybody. It is the thief. John chapter 10, verse 10, first part of the verse, Jesus said, it is the thief that comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's the third cause. The fourth cause, we just looked at it in Genesis chapter 3. We live in a broken, sin-infested, fallen world. And once again, if God was about preventing humans' bad decisions, he would have prevented this whole mess by preventing Adam and Eve. Now let me say here, sometimes God will put some roadblocks in your path to try to make you, help you realize, don't do this, don't do that. Well, no, he won't. Well, what about what was the name of that prophet that was after money? Balaam and the donkey. Don't you think the Lord was trying to get Balaam's attention? Balaam took money from the king to prophesy curses over Israel. Remember that? The donkey, God gave the donkey a voice. And the donkey started saying, dude, he saw this angel, the angel of the Lord. The donkey said, dude, don't. No, don't. Right? And every time that that the false prophet's mouth opened and he wanted a curse, what came out instead? Praises, blessings. Blessings. Because God said, you cannot curse what I have blessed. All right? So, let me say here, church family, let's wind this up. We live in an existence that is fallen. We live in a place where we need God. Living in this earth, in this fallen world, we need the Lord. We need Jesus. I don't know why bad things happen. Not all of them have an answer. I don't know. I wish I did. But I seriously doubt that knowing would help my heart condition. To some things, there are just no answers on this side of heaven. But let me say here, friends, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, but want that kind of hope in this fallen world, listen, he is at the door of our hearts and he is knocking, saying, open the door, I'll be your hope, I'll be your comfort, I'll be your peace, I'll be your strength. I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. All we have to do is say, Jesus, forgive me of all of my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. I give you my life. Wow, I feel like we're just standing on holy ground right now. I feel such a sacred moment here. But let me tell you, Jesus is real. The times that I have asked, God, where are you? You know, we're supposed to live life forward. But how many of us know that life makes sense when you look at it backwards? After the trial, after the difficulty, after the hardship, after the tragedy, you know, after my divorce, I was lost. I was spiraling out of control spiritually, emotionally. And yet, after that was over and after the sting of loss begin to subside, I look backward and I realize that Jesus never left me and Jesus never forsook me. Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you for this moment, Lord. Wow. I sense your presence in a very powerful way. Lord Jesus, minister to people by your Holy Spirit. Touch hearts. Begin a healing process in their lives, Lord. Reach out. No matter where we're at spiritually, reach out to every one of us, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus. I thank you for that. Be glorified and honored, Lord. Help us to understand that you're always with us. That you weep when we weep. That your heart breaks for us when our hearts break. Thank you for that. In Jesus' precious name.